بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We are reading from the book, from the kitab, إصلاح العقائد, correction of beliefs. And today we read concerning shirk. Yesterday we read concerning the meaning of kufr and the different types of kufr, etc. Today we are doing shirk. The literal meaning of shirk is to ascribe partners. In terms of the Sharia, to associate another as a partner with Allah Ta'ala in his exclusive attributes, his will, his obedience, his being, and to hold anyone equal to Allah Ta'ala is termed as shirk. Some types of shirk. The first type, shirk in his being, in the being of Allah Ta'ala. To hold somebody equal to the being of Allah Ta'ala. For example, the Christian belief of Trinity, idol worship of the Hindus and Buddhists, and worship of ancestors. This is all types of shirk in the being of Allah Ta'ala. The second type of shirk is called shirk in his attributes, where a person now makes shirk to Allah Ta'ala with regards to his attributes. To state that special servants of Allah Ta'ala, for example a Nabi or a Wali, share Allah Ta'ala's exclusive attributes. So this will be called shirk in the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. This can be of many types. So the second type of shirk is of many types. The first one is shirk in knowledge. The attribute of knowledge, to be all-knowing, is an exclusive attribute of Allah Ta'ala. To ascribe this attribute to in any way to a human being by saying, for example, our Shaykh has knowledge of all our deeds and actions, or to say that the Anbiya and the Martyrs possess the complete knowledge of Ghaib, the unseen, is shirk. The knowledge of many unseen things and events, for example, concerning angels, Jannat and Jahannam, etc., has been conveyed or granted to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam by Allah Ta'ala. Complete and intrinsic possession of the knowledge of the ghaib is not the attribute of any created being. The second type of shirk in the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, the second type of it is shirk in power. To believe that a created being, for example a Nabi or a Shaykh, etc., has the power of giving life and death, or he can cause good or bad to happen. Hence, to believe that a certain Shaykh has the power to fulfill our needs, or has the power to give sustenance, etc., is all termed as shirk. The third type, shirk in hearing and seeing. To believe that just as Allah Ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing, similarly, our Shaykh or a Nabi can also hear and see all our actions, no matter how far or near they are. This is also a type of shirk. Number four, shirk in worship. Worship. Allah Ta'ala is the only being worthy of being worshipped. Performing those actions for anyone else which Allah Ta'ala has commanded His servants to do in His honor is shirk. For example, salat, fasting, qurbani, bowing or prostrating before living saints or their graves, making tawaf of graves, backtrotting away from the graves in show of excessive veneration for the grave, to call out unto anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, and to believe that the one called from far has the power to harm and benefit, to take an oath in the name of anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, to photograph somebody and show respect to that photograph. These and many similar acts are all acts of shirk. Last night in the Tarawih, alhamdulillah, the 24th para was recited. The 24th para comprises of the completion of Surah Az-Zumar, and then followed by Surah Al-Mu'min, and then towards the end, Surah Hamim, Sajda. These were the portions recited last night in the Taraweeh. We continue from where we had stopped last night. We were busy after Surah Yasin, Surah Al-Saffat comes, and thereafter Surah Al-Sad and then portion of Surah Az-Zumar was read after that. These surahs, as well as the surahs which were recited last night, are all also Makki surahs, and as mentioned previously, that the subject matter in all the Makki surahs has to do more with the fundamentals of deen, not so much with the injunctions and laws of Shariat, which are primarily found in the Madani surahs. In Surah As-Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences by taking the qasam of the angels. The point here, as mentioned in the surah towards the end, the mushrikeen, in their ignorance and in their fallacy, they used to now ascribe the angels to be the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they made kingship between Allah ta'ala and the jinn. In other words, as if now Allah ta'ala had spouses in the form of the jinnat, and the progeny was then the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to refute that false belief of these mushrikeen, Allah ta'ala takes the qasam of the angels with their attributes to show that the angels were the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are in the highest level of servitude and bandagi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they had been created for not as the children of Allah ta'ala, as the daughters, but they have been created to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that reason, Allah ta'ala takes qasam on their names to show that point, that the angels, Allah, by the angels who stand in rows, in other words, in the worship of Allah ta'ala, and ready to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these angels are such, by a further oath, that they drive the clouds, which Allah ta'ala had appointed them to now drive the clouds to whichever way Allah ta'ala wants them to be driven. And they are those who recite the reminder, the Qur'an Majeed. So they are all also the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala declares that your ilah, that your deity is only one deity, and is only one Allah ta'ala, and only He has to be worshipped. Further, Allah ta'ala makes mention of the jinnat also. Prior to the advent of Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jinns, they used to get access to the heavens. They used to then eavesdrop on the conversation of the angels with regard to the duties Allah ta'ala had assigned them. But on the advent of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala changed the system, and now they were stopped from eavesdropping in the heavens concerning the discussion of the angels. And any jinn who tries to go and eavesdrop, he is then chased away with a ball of flame in the form of the stars, and what we call the falling stars. What we see as the falling stars is actually the jinnat being pelted, who try to reach the heavens to eavesdrop to whatever is happening there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of all this, and then Allah ta'ala then in the beginning of the surah makes mention of all the strange and absurd objections which the mushrikeen used to raise. They used to say that this Quran Majid is clear, manifest jadu, and it is magic. They couldn't refuse to acknowledge how captivating the Quran Majid is on the people's hearts, and the only way to find an excuse concerning the Quran Majid was to brand it as magic. And concerning life after death also, they used to say that how is it that after death we are turned to turn to dust, and our bones are broken, and how will Allah ta'ala recreate us and bring us back to life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, yes, it will be like that, and you will be humiliated and disgraced. You will be raised and resurrected, but in a disgraced and humiliating form. Further on, Allah ta'ala makes mention of Jannat and Jahannam, the punishments which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept in store for those who are destined to go into Jahannam. And also on the other hand, concerning Jannat and the great bounties which Allah ta'ala had now placed for the people who are to go into Jannat. Concerning Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there, what will happen, each party will try and shift the blame for their being in misguidance and kufr onto somebody else. The followers will try now blame their leader, yeah, that you were the cause for us to remain in kufr and not accepting the message of haq. And they will respond that no, we did not force you in any way not to accept the message of haq when it came to you. So don't blame us. And then eventually they will say that فَحَقَّ عَلَيْنَا الْقَوْلُ رَبِّنَا, that the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been established upon us. In other words, senseless we trying to blame one another. All of us will have to taste the punishment which lay in store for us, and they will acknowledge that. And thereafter Allah ta'ala makes mention of Jannat. There also a discussion which will take place amongst the Jannatis. Those who are in Jannat is also mentioned here. That a person will tell his fellow Jannatis that I had a friend in the dunya and he used to mock and jeer at me and tell me, you are also one of the Musaddiqeen. In other words, you are also one of those who testify and confirm to what is being told to you, that you will be now brought back to life after you die. So you are also one of them. How can that be? So while they are discussing all this, that Jannati will tell the others, don't you want to see that person now who Allah Ta'ala had, who nearly tried to now put me into deception and mislead me? Don't you want to see them? And Allah will make it so that they will see that person in the midst of Jahannam. From Jannah they will be able to see that person. And thus Jannati will then tell that person that you nearly misled me. You now was very, very close to now you were there to mislead me. If it was not for the fadl of Allah Ta'ala upon me, I would have also been one. I would have also been like you and the inmate of Jahannam. But it is only Allah Ta'ala's fadl who protected me. So that incident is also mentioned here. Further, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the incidents of the various Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, and as is the case in most of the Makki surahs also, Allah Ta'ala, besides confirming the fundamentals of deen, also mentions the incidents of the nations of the past, how they opposed their Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam due to their pride and obstinacy, and with the result, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. The incident of Nuh alayhi salam, and thereafter Ibrahim alayhi salam is also mentioned. Ibrahim alayhi salam's incident is mentioned also in various places in the Quran and Majid, but different aspects of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was put through numerous trials and tribulations by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he passed all those trials and tribulations in the highest level. Here the particular incident of the dream which he saw, which we normally hear in the days of Qurbani, that he is slaughtering his son, and the dream of a Nabi is wahi, and he was ready to now fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His son Ismail alayhi salam also was completely ready, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so that Allah ta'ala replaced Ismail alayhi salam with a ram from Jannat, and Ibrahim alayhi salam slaughtered that, and Allah ta'ala kept us alive in the form of what we now call the Qurbani, and we slaughter the animals. So this incident is nowhere else mentioned in the Quran Majid besides in the Surah As-Saffat. Other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam's incidents are also mentioned, and Allah Ta'ala then concludes the Surah in a way of summarizing the contents of the Surah. Allah Ta'ala says that purity belongs to your Rabb, who is the owner of all honor and respect, and Allah is pure from all what they ascribe to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, these mushrikeen. And wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, and may peace be upon all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam who were sent. And all praise for Allah Ta'ala, who is the Lord of the worlds, of the universe. These words we hear, Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, till the end. And at the end, after salat in our dua, and also at the end of gatherings, many virtues have been mentioned by reciting these, that those who recite these verses after the salat and some narrations at the end of the gatherings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Then the next surah is Surah Sad, also the Makki surah. Allah ta'ala takes the qasam of the Quran Majid and declares that these kuffar are in unjustified pride and arrogance, and also in opposition to whatever message is being told to them, which indicates the fact that these people who refuse to accept the message of Tawheed from the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam and acknowledge Allah Ta'ala to be their sole creator and without any partners, this was because of their pride and arrogance. And this disease of pride is such a thing, where a person recognizes the haqq but refuses to acknowledge it because of that inside pride of his. Therefore, a person should be very careful when it comes to pride, because it can lead a person to very serious destruction. Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of these mushrikeen who opposed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling him a magician, a liar, and they couldn't understand that how he is making all our different gods, and saying that no, they are not numerous gods, there's only one God. This is a very strange thing which he is trying to tell us. And when many of the mushrikeen, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam propagated the message to them of haqq, and they were becoming inclined, but the leaders from the mushrikeen, they told their fellow mushrikeen that no, just walk away from here and remain persistent on your gods, don't listen to what this man is saying. Why? Because we have never heard of this in from our forefathers, in our religion. Therefore, it is something which is now new and fabricated by this person. This is how they disinclined the other people from accept the message of Haqq, was the result that then they earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here also many incidents of the nations of the past are again mentioned, and particularly concerning Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah Ta'ala put him also through numerous tests and trials. Allah Ta'ala, after having granted him abundance in every field, health and also material things of this world, but Allah Ta'ala then put him to a test. Ulama explained, for 18 years Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam became so ill. He lost his children, they all passed away. His whatever Allah Ta'ala had granted him also was now lost, and was the result. But that Ayyub alayhi salam was left in this condition, but he persevered and knew all conditions are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala then restored his health, and also whatever he had lost, Allah Ta'ala not only gave him more, gave him back, but even more than that, double that. That incident is also mentioned here. Then again, the incident, the conditions of Jannat and Jahannam are also explained at the end of the surah. Then Allah Ta'ala makes mention again of the incident of Adam alayhi salam's creation, and when the angels were ordered to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam in recognition of his honor and status, but Iblis refused to do so. And here it is mentioned clearly, Allah Ta'ala asked him, "What stops you from making sajda for that which I have created with my own hands? Are you proud, or you regard yourself to be now too lofty and higher and more superior than what I have created?" And then Iblis, in an audacious way, then said that, "No, I am better than him. Referring to Adam alayhi salam, and then he justified his claim by saying, "You have created me from fire, and you have created him from sand." And fire, the nature of fire is to rise, to go higher, and the nature of sand is to now drop down on and remain on the surface of the earth. So, therefore, I am superior. Ulama explained that he only seen this one aspect of difference between the fire and the sand, but in reality, the other points, that fire is destructive, but sand is constructive. And on the other hand, fire can be extinguished with sand. So on that basis now, he didn't think of it on those lines. He only thought of it from one line. But the point was that he regarded himself to be superior, and this caused his destruction. And at that time also, as mentioned previously in other occasions, that he took, he made the dua to Allah Ta'ala, knowing Allah Ta'ala responds to the duas of whoever make to him. And he said that, "Give me respite till the day when people will be resurrected and raised." Allah accepted his dua that, "Okay, we will give respite, but not till the time you want, but till a specific time, and that is till the blowing of the trumpet." In other words, at the advent when Qiyamah will occur, not more than that. So then he took the qasam that, "By your honor, I will mislead all of mankind besides those who are your selected servants. I will not be able to mislead them." And then on that Allah Ta'ala said that, "What I have decreed will happen, and I will fill Jahannam with you and all those who now follow you, and I will fill Jahannam with all of you." So that incident is also mentioned here in Surah Az-Zumar, Zumar means groups and parties, and since at the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala makes mention concerning the Jahannam, people going to Jannat and Jahannam. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. The word Zumar is used, Zumar is used there. That in groups and groups, people will be sending, Allah Ta'ala will be sending people to Jannat and also to Jahannam. So because of that, the surah is also called Surah Zumar. Also, a Makki surah, Allah Ta'ala places great emphasis in the beginning of the surah on sincerity of worship. That in our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should not be contaminated in any way with wrong intentions and with the with what we call minor shirk, where a person now does things for the purpose of showing to others. Allah Ta'ala says, فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Worship Allah Ta'ala, keeping the worship of Allah Ta'ala solely for Allah Ta'ala, for Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala, for Allah Ta'ala is only that worship which is solely done for Him. Only that is acceptable to Allah Ta'ala. We should be careful concerning our intentions when it comes to every action of us, particularly our actions of worship, that it should not be contaminated with any evil intention or ulterior motive. Allah Ta'ala, the ulama explained that we should check our intentions before we start the action, while doing the action, and also after we complete the action. Perhaps we started it with full sincerity, but later on, as the action progresses, it could be now wrong thoughts and wrong intentions could creep in slowly, and how to know what is ikhlas and how to develop this ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala has made the system such that we have to learn how to now develop this quality of ikhlas, and that is through the righteous and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will explain to us the intricacies of what is called sincerity and ikhlas. Many a time, shaitan, through his deception and also the deception of the nafs, we might think that we have ikhlas, but in reality, there is some ulterior motive lurking somewhere in the bottom of the heart, which now could be one of the underlying reasons we do a particular action. Ulama explained that ikhlas comes very late in a person's life. That many a time he starts the action either as a habit or either because of another reason, but slowly, slowly, if a person works on it, inshallah, he will develop this quality of ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala grant it to all of us. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning his great qudrat, how Allah Ta'ala is, to recognize Allah Ta'ala, we have to see and ponder over his great creations. Allah Ta'ala, one of them mentions here that we have created you in the wombs of your mothers. We have now taken you from stage to stage, which was mentioned previously in some in the previous paras, how Allah Ta'ala from a drop of sperm makes it a clot of blood, then a lump of flesh, and then Allah Ta'ala puts bones in there, dresses it with flesh, and then Allah Ta'ala instills the ruh. So these all are the manifestation of the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala says, we did all this in fi zulumatin thalath, in three layers of darkness. At that time when the Quran Majid was revealed, nobody understood how the development of the fetus takes place in the womb of the mother. Allah Ta'ala already indicated the three layers of darkness. One is the darkness of the stomach, the other is the darkness of the womb of the mother, and which is in the stomach, and within there the membrane which surrounds the fetus as it is being developed, which we call the placenta, that has been also indicated in this verse. At that time nobody knew about all these things. Only after later advancements in science and technology, then people came to understand this. But Allah Ta'ala already mentioned this long ago. So in these great forms of darknesses, Allah Ta'ala created that perfect human being. And a person just has to ponder over his own creation, how Allah Ta'ala has created him, his stature, his structure, how Allah Ta'ala has created his eyes, ears, nose, the limbs, the nerves in the body, whatever we can understand, internal organs, Allah Ta'ala created it in darkness. This is the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala reminds us that if you stay in disbelief and refuse to acknowledge the message of Haqq, don't think so. You are worshipping Allah Ta'ala or recognizing Allah Ta'ala to be your ilah. You are doing a favor to Allah Ta'ala. No, Allah Ta'ala is ghani, independent from you. if you continue in your disbelief, Allah can destroy you and create a nation other than you who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, Allah ta'ala does not like kufr for his bandas. And if you are grateful and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be your ilah and worship Allah ta'ala, this is what Allah ta'ala likes from you. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala says, nobody will bear the burden of anybody else. Each person will have to now give account for his own deeds. All this is mentioned in these verses here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions concerning ikhlas in the worship of Allah ta'ala, and then towards the end of the surah and also end of the para, Allah ta'ala mentions, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ, that can the person now who is in darkness, can he be equal to the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded his heart for Islam and he is on the light from his Allah, from Allah ta'ala. This verse came before also, and there also it was explained. Similar words were mentioned previously, and it was explained that the Sahaba asked, what is the sign that, oh Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has now opened the heart of somebody for the light of Islam? Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned three signs, that he now becomes disinclined from the temporary abode of the dunya, he inclines to the year after, and prepares for death before death can come. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the 24th para that who can be more unjust than the one who forges a lie against Allah ta'ala and rejects the truth when it comes to him, the Quran and Majid and the message of Haqq. In other words, who can be more zalim than that person? Who can be a more unjust person than such a person who does so? So Allah Ta'ala says that this person is now the most unjust person who refuses to accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says that these mushrikeen and those who either reject Allah Ta'ala or ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala, but when you ask them who is the creator of all the skies, the earth and everything around them, they will also acknowledge that it is only Allah Ta'ala. They won't by mistake also take the name of any of the deities, knowing full well that they don't have the power and kudrat to create these great creations of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that even ask them that if besides that which you call to besides Allah Ta'ala, if Allah Ta'ala decides that he wants to afflict me with an adversity, is there anyone who can remove that adverse condition and bless me with mercy and that besides Allah Ta'ala? There too they will acknowledge that nobody can now do that. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them, Hasbi Allah, that Allah is sufficient for me, and only on Allah Ta'ala to the people who trust, place their trust on. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning that he is the soul, he is in sole control of the lives and the souls of each living thing. Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala draws the souls from his creation when they are to die. And also Allah Ta'ala draws the soul of those who are not to die in their sleep. Sleep is called akhul maut, al-nawm akhul maut. It is the brother of death. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the manifestation of his qudrat that when you sleep every day, it is Allah ta'ala now who makes you sleep, where you become completely oblivious of what is happening around you, as if like a dead person. So this is now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat. But Allah ta'ala says that for whom he had decreed death in his sleep, then we don't allow his soul to return to him. But others, their souls are returned to them, in other words, when they awaken, till an appointed time. All this is also the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Allah ta'ala mentions that those who now, the mushrikeen, who say that the angels or their deities will now intercede for them on the day of Qiyamah, if there is, if there is Qiyamah, then they will intercede. Allah ta'ala says, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of intercession. Only whom he permits and wishes they can intercede, only their intercession, only they will be able to intercede, nobody else. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that This verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions that, tell my bandas, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who have transgressed themselves, that never become despondent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala forgives all sins, and Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu explains that there is no other verse in the whole Quran and Majid which gives so much hope to the mu'mineen than this ayat. That this ayat holds the most hope that a person should never ever become despondent, no matter how great a sinner might he might be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is such that he should never become despondent of that. A person, no matter how much he sins, he can never exhaust the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. You can continue sinning and Allah ta'ala will forgive you, because there is no shortage in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people that turn towards your Rabb and submit towards your Rabb before a punishment will come to you, and then you will not be aided in any way. In other words, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave all your obstinacy and your transgression and turn to Allah ta'ala and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention again of Jannat and Jahannam and the groups of people who will be then sent to Jannat and Jahannam. Allah explains that. The next surah, Suratul Mu'min. The surah is called Suratul Mu'min, but another name is also mentioned concerning the surah, Suratul Ghafir. If it is called Suratul Ghafir, it is because of the first few verses in which Allah Ta'ala's attributes are explained, that Allah Ta'ala is the forgiver of all sins. Allah is the acceptor of all tawbahs and repentance. And Allah Ta'ala is also very severe in punishing. And Allah Ta'ala is also now the toll. Allah Ta'ala is now the one who grants great bounties to his bandas. So these qualities have been mentioned in the first verse. That's why the surah is also called Suratul Ghafir. Concerning the first three verses, one is Hamim, Huruf Muqatta'at, and the two verses after that, which is just 2.5 lines, many virtues have been mentioned for those who recite these verses in the morning and evening together with Ayatul Kursi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah protect such a person from all calamities and hardships. So besides all our other wazifas, we should also read this Ayatul Kursi, and also the first three verses, which is just 2.5 lines, inshallah it will then, the effect of it is that Allah ta'ala will save a person from all difficult conditions and calamities. Allah ta'ala then further, other name of the surah is Suratul Mu'min. And the reason for that is Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his encounters with Fir'aun, and how a person from the fraternity of Fir'aun, from the family of Fir'aun, he accepted Iman, but he concealed his Iman. And he did not reveal to the people he had accepted the message of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and accepted Iman. His incident is mentioned here, and he is referred to as Rajulul Mu'min. That's why the surah is called Suratul Mu'min. In the surah, also being a Makki surah, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of his great qudrat, and that a person ponders over the great qudrats of Allah Ta'ala, he can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the high status of the mu'mineen also, that even the angels who are holding the arsh aloft, they also make dua for the mu'mineen. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So what a great honor for the mu'mineen that those angels who are so close to Allah Ta'ala, holding the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, they make dua for such people who bring iman. And they make dua, رَبَّنَا وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ. O Allah, whose mercy and his knowledge is all encompassing, forgive those who make tawbah. Hear the significance of the people who make tawbah, that those angels make dua that, O Allah Ta'ala, forgive them and save them from the punishment of Jahannam, and enter them into Jannat, which we have promised them, the everlasting Jannat, and also enter there those who are righteous from their forefathers, from their fathers and their spouses and their progeny. So they make dua for a person, not only for him, but also for his now and his fathers and spouses and children, that, O Allah Ta'ala, unite all of them in Jannat together. What a great honor is for the mu'mineen that these angels are making dua for them. Allah Ta'ala tells the kuffar that now today, since you are now
seeing the punishments which lay in store for you because of your rejection of the truth in the dunya, how you hate yourself now today. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala hated you just but more than that, when in the dunya you were being called to iman, but you did not respond, and you refused to accept the message of haq. Today you are hating yourself more than that. Allah Ta'ala disliked you and detested your condition when you now refuse to accept the message of haq. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala reminds us of the day of qiyamah. What a frightening day that day will be, when the hearts will come right to the throat. And people will be in a condition, in a very terrified condition. Allah Ta'ala also reminds us that Allah Ta'ala knows very well the treachery of the eyes. How if you cast unlawful glances secretly and quietly, Allah Ta'ala knows about that also, and what you conceal in your heart. All the type of beliefs you have, what type of inclinations you have, the type of intentions you have for whatever you are doing, Allah Ta'ala is well aware of that. Nobody else knows this. Allah Ta'ala is well aware of all that. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention of the incident of Fir'aun, when they decided to kill Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But this person who had up till now been concealing his iman, but he told them, how can you kill a person that who is saying that my Rabb is Allah, and brought proofs to you also in the form of the miracles which were given to him to show to Fir'aun and his people? How can you now do that? And in different ways he explained to them that this what you are now trying to do is completely unjust, because his only what you call wrong is that he is proclaiming Allah Ta'ala to be his Rabb and not accepting Fir'aun to be Rabb. Fir'aun had called himself Rabbi Allah, and as if now the supreme God, and make people now actually like worship him. But then the incident how Fir'aun to mock at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he told his minister Haman that build for me a lofty palace, let me climb there, and then I will try and see in the heavens whether there is a ilah, a god, Allah, which Musa alayhi salam is referring to. The point was, he was trying to mock at the way Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's message of haq, and then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him, all is mentioned here. And then we carry on, and then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the importance of dua, that Allah Ta'ala says, make dua to me, I will respond to your call. And those who are proud from my ibadat, referring to making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Dua is an ibadat, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Dua itself is a form of worship. And in another narration, dua mukhul ibadah, is the essence of ibadah. So anybody who is proud to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala says, we will enter them into Jahannam in a completely disgraceful and humiliating condition. So the importance of dua is also explained here, that we should always turn to Allah ta'ala in dua for all our matters. And in this way, Allah Ta'ala then completes the surah, also mentioning the incidents of some incidents of the nations of the past, together with the scenes of Jannat and Jahannam. And on that, the surah then terminates. Then the next surah, the last surah of the para, is Surah Hamim, Al-Sajda. Inshallah, we will do it tomorrow.